First of all, Nate, I am on this show. They asked me to do the rundown. I said I should be okay by 3 because this usually takes about 45 minutes to 50 minutes, which is accurate. 3 o'clock came. I went outside. You know what I said? I said I'm on Cracking Aces. You need to find someone else to do the rundown.
There we go.
You know what that means? They're not ready to do the rundown.
Oh, no. That means Dave's doing it and he kicked me off. Yeah.
You let Dave do it?
Yeah, I let Dave
do it. You let Dave do the rundown? What kind of soft shit is that?
What are you going to do? Yeah.
Episode 95. Coming up on today's show, we have a guest, big guest. His name is Chris Moneymaker. He's the pride of Tennessee. You might know him from winning a little tournament called the Main Event in 2003 and turning us all into poker players. The reason you're listening to the show is probably because of Chris Moneymaker. Am I talking out of line there?
It's not even probably. It's 100% a fact. 100%. And I'm looking forward to in that interview, just getting to ask him about his influence in poker and the whole journey, because it's even 18 years later, it's still mind-blowing.
Yeah, I would say he is the number one reason poker is still as alive as it even is today. Even though he did win the Main Event 18 years ago, you still talk about Moneymaker Effect. He, you know, people.
Well, they still like sites that he works with. You know, he used to work with Stars. Now he's with ACR. They still. I mean, Stars definitely had Moneymaker promotions when he worked for them for years. You know, it's who
his
wants
face
to be
was
the
on the billboards, right, and it was everywhere. Yeah.
His person, his presence, his last name markets itself. And now ACR is doing similar things too. Who's going to be the next Moneymaker?
And the thing with Moneymaker too, it's what makes poker so great is literally anyone can go play the Main Event. You know, you look at all these sports, like we can never beat Tiger Woods in golf or win a Super Bowl. And when Moneymaker won the Main Event, you're like, hey, that's some dude that's an accountant like I am. And you could go win the freaking World Series Main Event through a satellite. Holy crap.
Yep.
We all have a shot at this. And even 18 years later, it's just such a phenomenal story because poker is all about the common man. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do it. And that's what makes it so different than these other top sports. And Moneymaker's influence on that is, I mean, you can't say enough about it. Great job, Nate, pulling it. Like, great for podcast.
Like, you know, Michael Jordan is, you know, the biggest name in NBA history. But the NBA would have been the NBA without Michael Jordan. We don't know where poker would be. And I want to ask Chris that, like, without him winning that main, like, sure, like online sites were coming up in the game and the fields were getting bigger, but just the way he was able to, you know, he won it in a satellite, went to Vegas, he has the perfect name, and then he just became an ambassador when he didn't have to do that.
Just a perfect storm of events.
Yeah, if Ivy would have won, it would have been, oh, well, the pro is supposed to win. Even if Farah would have won, like, he's a pro, obviously, but he looks like a Vegas poker goon.
Right.
Like,
right.
That just is like an outsider. Yeah. Just Moneymaker, legitimately a common person.
And he's still, I mean, me and Jake had him on the old podcast twice. Always just so pleasant, so nice. I'll watch him, some of his tables when he's playing on ACR on Sundays and, you know, he'll stream here and there. He's just the best. I can't say enough good things about him. He's just the best, nicest dude in the world.
Yeah,
so
great guy.
He is coming up on the show today. Also, just a little housekeeping. If you're new to the show, because we tweeted out that we have Chris Moneymaker on, please subscribe and hopefully leave a review and click the 5 stars on iTunes. That helps us get more listeners, move up in the rankings, and that's always fun. Plus, this is episode 95, so there's 94 previous episodes you can catch up on. 92 of them are good, so I recommend doing that. We've had all the biggest guests on. We've had Negreanu on. We've had a ton of Main Event winners on, like Greg Merson, Ryan Reese. You name someone besides Ivy and Durr, we've had them on the podcast. And now it's the five of us in this room doing it every week. So if you want the episode on your iTunes or Spotify, if you listen on Spotify, just smash subscribe. It helps us. It helps you. It's a great podcast. As Smitty says, best poker podcast out there on the market. No offense to Remco and B. Hanks, but we love it. And so
buy our merch too.
Yeah, buy merch. And new shirt dropping tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Look forward to wearing it.
New shirt dropping tomorrow. So buy that as well.
Show Jake.
No, nobody knows about it besides me.
I haven't seen it.
No. I knew you had a meeting the other day. That's all I heard. A
lot of cool stuff hopefully coming down the pipe. Well, that being said, let's hop into our chat with the legend himself, Chris Moneymaker.
You guys are like professional. Look at this.
Don't be fooled.
I am fooled. This looks, I mean, I've been on this podcast before and it didn't look like this.
No. I think we did it from like under a bridge last time.
Yeah, you definitely got about another $100 in the budget. Congratulations.
It's literally just the logo.
We've really made it.
And the funny thing about the logo on the TV is it's just like I screenshotted like a JPEG. So it's super fuzzy and not even high def.
That's our NFT.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is, from my viewpoint, it looks crystal clear and looks perfect. So
as you guys did great.
We'll have to send you a shirt.
Oh, send me one. I like shirts.
Wait, what's the rest of your shirt say? I'm not what?
I'm not sleeping. I'm resting my eyes.
Oh, okay.
My kids got it for Father's Day for me.
That's the perfect dad shirt. It really is.
Yep. Yeah. This is Smitty over here and Ben Mintz to my left. They weren't on the show last time. It was just me and Jake. And Ben Mintz says that he knows you from the days battling down in Tunica.
You're going to know. I think you're going to know my face, but not my name. We played together at a bunch of tournaments, but
I would probably recognize your face.
Yeah, you're not going to know my name. Yeah, we used to play I went to Ole Miss, so we played World Series of Poker Tunica. And you used to play Oklahoma stuff, too. I battled with you over there a little bit. But
okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Love it.
You still in Memphis?
Yeah, well, I'm in Olive Branch, down closer to Tunica, which I never go there, but I'm closer to it now.
Nice.
Moved down here for the school district, and we wanted to get away from private, and all the kids are back in private, so go figure.
You still playing a good bit?
I'm playing as we speak.
There you go.
All right, well, what are you playing?
I'm playing a 5-10 blitz, no limit right now, just a cash game.
Is that on ACR?
Yeah, ACR.
So since the last time we had you on, you left PokerStars after a huge run there, like Messi-esque. Is his name Messi? Messi?
Messi
in Barcelona. People compared you. I didn't make that comparison. Sorry, I'm trying to like get back to my Spanish roots and pronounce it properly.
No me gusta.
But
that's a very close comparison, by the way.
So you were there for 20-ish years, almost 20 years, I would say, and what, 18? And now you are the face of ACR. So how's that transition gone for you? Just going from one company, you know, I would say you put PokerStars on the map, and now you're trying to do the same for America's Card Room.
You know, it's been awesome. I really liked working with PokerStars. They were a great company. Obviously, they've gone through so many changes throughout the years. I'm more of a guy. I like more of a personal connection with the management and, you know, decisions and things like that. So that was one of the reasons I ended up leaving, is because PokerStars went from, I would call Isai, the owner back in the day, and say, hey, I want to do this, or let's do this. And, you know, we would do it, and to it got to where I needed to fill out 15 forms to, you know, get on stream. It seemed like it was just, you know, there's a lot, it went very corporate, but it's a growing company. So it had to, and it's much bigger now. ACR just fits my profile a little bit better as far as what I like. I can pick up the phone and talk to the CEO, and we run cool promotions. And, the other big thing was, as during this whole quarantine thing, I couldn't leave the house to go play live,
right?
And I couldn't play where I live on PokerStars. So I didn't really have anything to do. So I was quite bored, and I started playing an ACR and had a couple good scores and started doing well. And then I met the owner, and we started talking, and basically it's like, you know, what would it take for you to come work for me? I said, you know, just give me X. And, he said done. So it was done.
Sweet. The major question I would say we get about ACR is obviously the legality of it, because we always say on the show and everywhere two things, you know, online poker is legal or regulated in 5 states. ACR, you can play in every state. So people always ask us, like, what's the actual deal with that? Is my money safe? Like, and we don't say 100% yes to anything, because, you know, we saw PokerStars and Full Tilt and Ultimate Bet get shut down by the government in the snap of the finger. Everybody's, you know, money tied up. And people say, can the same thing happen on ACR? How do you answer that question?
Well, first of all, anybody that played on PokerStars pre-Black Friday, it was all unregulated poker for that time. It wasn't regulated until, you know, just the recent couple years. So if you think about ACR, it's the same thing that you're playing on PokerStars years ago. It's not illegal. I think maybe in the state of Washington would be the only place that you might get in trouble. But any other time, you can play online poker. There's nothing illegal against it. They have a problem with banking and moving money. We get around that by using Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. So first of all, to answer your question, it's perfectly legal as far as to play money or to play poker on America's Card Room. Completely easy, completely safe. It's just like playing PokerStars back in the day, back when, you know, they were in all 50 states. And as far as the money goes, I can't speak to 100%, but I feel as confident knowing what I've seen with the America's Card Room that I saw with PokerStars. I wouldn't leave a PokerStars, which is a great company, to go to some site that I wasn't sure had the player balances covered. And I feel very confident that the player balances are covered. I've been shown proof that they are covered, and I believe it's there. And they, you know, like they say, they have to follow stricter guidelines because they're unregulated in some areas. So they actually cover their bases more, where like companies like PokerStars or whatever, they can go borrow the money for 30 days, put it in their funds. And then when they come to audit it, it's there, where they have to keep it all the time. And so your money's safe. It's legal to play. The hardest thing for people to do is to get money on because people just don't understand crypto.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why I text you and ask if you have any money, and then you send me money and then I lose it in about 15 minutes.
Well, they're also, I mean, ACR is also not a small site at this point, right? Like, they're running huge tournament guarantees. They're running all these series. And as far as I know, we haven't really heard of anything drastic happening with someone having lost funds or stolen funds. Well,
they've had the bots issue.
No, I know. Sure. I know they for sure had their issues, but specifically with like player funds.
Right.
As far as I know, that there hasn't been any big issues with that.
You know, I see stuff all the time, but I saw stuff all the time at PokerStars too, where someone will claim that, I mean, I had a guy claim that PokerStars owed him $50 million that he played back in 2003 to 2005 and won $50 million and they stole his money. Well,
did that work? Maybe I'll make the same claim. Well,
the problem with that is the biggest game during that time frame was like 5-10.
Right.
So it'd be hard to run up $50 million. And if you did, everybody would know who you are. You would be a beast.
Yeah.
So his story obviously doesn't check out, but you get people that, you know, will come up and say, you know, I didn't get this money or that money. And they go back to the company and it's like, no, they're not owed anything. It's, you know, it's very rare. It's mostly people that, you know, looking to take advantage of situations. And you know, there's always going to be those people when you deal with money, but I haven't seen anything legitimate where anything has happened where someone didn't get paid their money. Someone didn't get, you know, the issues that we've had have obviously been with bots, but those have been probably 2 years ago once they started changing the software. It makes it really hard for bots to operate on the site because we have 100 different table iterations where you won't see it as you play, but like the numbers will change, the boxes will change, and it's really small, but it really messes up what the bots do. And so every time you open a table, the table's going to look a smidge different. You won't realize it again, but it's different. And the computer can't recognize it. And that makes it really hard on bots. They have to keep reprogramming the bots to the point where basically the bots makers are saying, we don't even support ACR because it's just too much updating to try to, you know, keep up with all the changes. So that's one way we've handled bots. The other issue that we have, and this is the, you know, issue that's still ongoing, and it's our biggest issue, in my opinion, is we'll have downtime. And, you know, we'll have a big tournament series, and, you know, we'll have the tournament will end up canceling or something because we can't get the servers to, or the server to work properly. And that's happened since I've been on, I think, three times. And obviously every single time it's very unfortunate. We hate it. It's just the worst. The reason for that is we constantly update the site. I mean, there every week or two, we're adding new features, whether it be, we're about ready to add a staking feature to
that, I mean, Nate's, it sounds great, but that's great for such, Nate. I mean, it's good news and bad news. It just makes it way easier for me to play because, I mean, who's not going to want to like just throw money at us idiots and be like, yeah, I have 1% of that guy.
Yeah, you better lose my number. Yeah. No. So, you know, we got that coming up. We had the bankroll beneficiaries. We obviously, if you play cash there, we changed it to where it's anonymous tables before you sit down.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that just the other week. I was like, man, I haven't logged into ACR in a while. This is annoying that I can't sweat it. Sweat, you know, like the 200, 400 rat hole game. But at the same time, well, it's definitely good for
you can now. You can go in. You can go in if you want to sweat the 200 fret rattle, because that was one of my, you know, big things is people like to come and sweat that. So you can go the 200, 400 rat hole game and you can buy, like when you click on it, you'll see view players and then there'll be three tickets down there. So what those tickets do, it allows you to view the table and watch it for 24 hours, but you can't play on it while you're watching. So once you buy a ticket to watch that table, you can't play on it. So if you plan on playing the 200, 400 game, then obviously don't buy a ticket. But if you're just going to watch the big swings, watch the, you know, couple $100,000 swings, then yeah, you can go buy a ticket and watch to your heart's content and they'll refresh. But yeah, that was a big complaint that we had was people liked watching those big games.
Yeah.
And so we solved it that way.
When are you going to jump in those?
I'm in those all the time.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I play them not every day, but I play them at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize you
the
played.
No limit or PLO?
Just the PLO. I don't play the no limit. I'm actually trying to learn how to play no limit online. I've never been a no limit cash player online, like ever. And I'm sitting here. I've been grinding the Blitz the last 2 weeks. Started at 25 cent, 50 cent. I'm up to 5.10 now. So
nice.
I actually had one of my buddies played against you in a 50 cent blitz like 10 days ago.
Man of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
That was me. That was me working up, trying to figure out different strategies. I think I punted off. I actually got my database here. I punted off $5,000. No, that was actually 5.10 yesterday. Sorry. I put it off $1,100 moving up stakes to get to 5.10.
Yeah, well, you should play Nate Heads Up and build your bankroll a little bit.
Oh, boy.
You know, someone's got to build a bankroll somehow. Just like, I'll get you over the head set up with ACR. We can do a Heads Up challenge and we'll play 20,000 hands. And you know, I don't even know how people do this bankroll challenge. 20,000 hands is a lot of hands.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to put in 10,000 hands. And dude, I only play one table at a time, so it takes me all freaking week.
Well, that's what it
all
is.
The 50 cent, the 25 cent, 50 cent, and the 5 cent, 10 cent. I was playing five at a time. And I mean, I was just like, it was, yeah, I can't do it. I'm too old to see five things going on at the same time.
I was watching you. You were doing a coaching session, or like you were the student, and I believe it was Poker Guru was coaching you or going over hand histories. And I loved how you play. You know, you're a lot like me. You're a hero. You love taking it to the streets. And he was trying to correct you like this and that and this and that. And he was asking why you did this. And sometimes you had like the perfect answer and it was very like theoretically sound. And but sometimes I loved that you were just like, I don't know, I just felt like raising. And I was like, that's my guy, Chris. Like it does not matter sometimes. You know, you just I like that you still play your way and you haven't let these nerds change how Chris Moneymaker plays poker.
Yeah, I'm trying to adapt to learn how these nerds play and learn the GTO way. So I can deviate more from it and be a lot. I mean, I'm going to deviate no matter what. I'm never going to be just this, you know, robot grinder. I'm always going to play a little bit of street poker and, you know, take some shots and that's just in my nature. Yeah. I'd be too bored to sit there and not do it. So, but one thing that people don't realize is actually GTO poker is actually not that nitty. It actually is pretty crazy sometimes. And as I'm learning how to play GTO, I'm kind of surprised how wild the computer and the simulations can be. It's pretty surprising.
I have two things up real quick. Number one, most importantly, that dog is just the most chillest motherfucker in the background possible. I mean, what, boy, girl, what are we dealing with here?
That's a girl, and you know, when we first got her, she was a pound dog, and you know, she was sleeping on the floor. She would come and sleep on the floor. Now, about 2 years later, she won't sleep unless she's on a pillow. Like, she has to be on a couch on a pillow.
Yeah, you got to check her pulse there.
Yeah, so I got four others that run around, and usually when I'm streaming, you'll see UFC dog fighting behind me. They just sit back here and go to town fighting all day. It's fun to watch, but especially on stream.
But you've been around since, the main event, what, 2000?
The Stone Age, yes. Yeah.
So you've been through the growth of online, and pandemic aside, what do you prefer now? Would you rather be online like you are now on ACR, or would you rather be at the live table? Because we are kind of sick of online at this point. We want to get back out there.
Yeah.
I prefer to play live. I like the interaction, and I like hanging out with people. I like that portion of it. But I also like the online, because the variety of games that you can play, and the different, you know, I can play six tournaments, where if you go play live, and you know, this is when I teach people, you play one tournament and you're bust, you're done. Mm. And it kind of sucks.
But gun to head, you can only play one forever. What are you choosing right now?
What's that now?
Yeah, gun to head. You only have one to choose from here to the rest of the time.
See, I can't do that, because before COVID, I was strictly a live player, and actually wanted to play online. And I couldn't really that much because I didn't have it, or I didn't know about ACR. So I wanted to play online, but now I've been playing online for 2 years.
So what would you rather have? Give us something so we can quote out of context and put out there.
Chris Moneymaker hates online. Yeah.
All right, fuck it. Online then. Yeah.
Chris Moneymaker officially done forever. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. You just lost my sponsorship in 2 seconds.
But a perfect segue. You know, obviously the biggest news right now is when the fuck's going to happen with the WSOP this fall. They pushed it from the summer to the fall. And now all the variants and that fun stuff is looking like it might rear its ugly head and possibly cancel it again. But now, by the grace of God, a lot of places are saying you have to be vaccinated if you want to step into our building at all. I know a bunch of casino. I know Harris Casino in New Orleans did that. I know the Raiders Stadium just did that. And that could be a domino that pushes WSOP to, you know, go with that as well. Happened. Would that change? I know you said you're not going to WSOP. Would a vaccination policy change your mind?
I would have to look at it. My biggest thing is when they came out and said that if you're vaccinated, you can still spread the virus. Mm-hmm. That's what changed my mind, because my son is too young to get the vaccine. Once he can get vaccinated, yeah, I can travel again and feel comfortable. But the fact that he can't be vaccinated, if I can spread the virus, then
right.
Yeah, that just, it's not worth it to me. You know, and they actually, I saw today that the online registration for the WSOP opened up. So when that happens, that usually means that it's going forward. Yeah. I expected it to go forward. I don't think they're going to have some of the bigger tournaments, though, the $500 buy-ins and the some of the 1Ks. And I don't think it's a COVID issue. I think it'll be more of a dealer shortage issue that they're going to have for some of the really monstrous events.
Right.
But I think you're going to see most of the series happen. It'll obviously depend upon what Nevada does is with their guidelines. If they have to be fully vaxxed, if they don't, then I don't think the WSOP will require it. And if they go with the current rule that they have, that's just a recipe for disaster. Yeah. In my opinion, if I'm day two of a tournament in a 10K tournament and I get sick, I'm putting a mask on and I'm playing, and just like, you know, everybody else probably would be, and I wouldn't even go get tested.
Right. It encourages people to lie to stay in the tournament.
Well, it's a $10,000 buy-in. And yeah, if you get sick by someone else, you know, you're sitting next to someone and they make you sick. I mean, yeah, it's brutal, but, you know, I don't know. It's just a bad situation. It's either you got to be fully vaccinated or you got to wear masks or something. I don't know. It's just, I don't see how, with the Delta variant being the way it is, that they can have a tournament with
20,000.
That long series. It just, it's already bad enough when you go to the Rio, you get the Rio flu almost every year. So,
well, that's the problem is like every time I go out there, I'm usually get sick just from being in the Rio, just from being in like a change of environment anyways. Like,
yeah, that's it's called the Rio flu for a reason. Everybody gets it.
Right.
20 degrees inside, 150 outside, just walking back and forth.
Exactly. So, I mean, you're going to get sick most likely. And the problem is you're not going to know if it's COVID or not. And if you're playing a 10K, well, you sure as hell don't want to find out. I mean, until you busted.
I want to ask, I'm sure you get, I don't want to make this generic because I don't want to ask the same questions you've been answering for 18 years, but I like many people, am a product of you winning the main event was what got me into poker, playing $5 games in the frat house at Ole Miss. And you look back of when you won that tournament, the main in 03, how could you have had any idea what that would mean to poker? Does it just blow your mind still thinking about how big it got?
Yeah, it does blow my mind because I went back to work Monday morning. We finished the tournament Saturday and I went back to work Monday morning. And I honestly just thought I had won a tournament and that was it. Like, I didn't know. I mean, I knew it was going to be on TV. I knew I'd get a little exposure and it would be cool for, you know, a couple weeks or whatever. And then life would go back to normal.
Yeah.
I was wrong, obviously.
Yeah, that's interesting. At what point did you realize that you didn't have to go back to work anymore after that Monday?
After I played my second tournament, my first tournament, obviously I won the WSOP, and then my second tournament I played was a WPT and I got second. Huh. And so at that point I figured I had poker figured out. I was just going to play this professionally because I'm just so good at it. And then it goes downhill for there for a while. But people started learning the game. And I honestly thought I had the game figured out. So I didn't study it anymore. I just like, this game's just easy.
First two tournaments. It sounds like you may have had it figured out.
I did have it figured out for that time. It was really easy. All you got to do is if they check to you, you bet. And if they bet, you just fold unless you have it.
Right.
It really wasn't that hard.
That's also a debate that we have. If you can go back with the way you played then or even now to like 1975 and play against Armadillo Slim and Doyle the way they played, would you be a billionaire?
You would print money.
Or would you get shot after the first
game? They would think you're a witch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like Stu Unger probably had kind of a style similar to what we play today, maybe not quite as advanced, but I would say that, you know, he was ahead of his time and that's why he was so successful. Right. You know, I've heard stories of, you know, how aggressive he was. And that's really the difference between today's game and the game back then is just the three betting and four betting frequencies and just the, you know, the range of hands of people are playing and the understanding of the game is just so much different. And I believe, you know, a couple people were ahead of it. I would probably be shot or, you never know. I mean, you know,
the first time you three bet like 8-7 suited, like they just put a gun in your head. Like, why'd you do that? Like, that's not acceptable.
I'm stupid. Sorry. No, honestly, if you did that and they saw that, they would probably love you. They would think that you're the worst player ever.
Right.
Because I remember it happened to me. That's one thing that got me was I was always really, you know, good back in the day. Well, then I started playing online and I kept getting three bet all the time. And it was really irritating to me.
Guys have aces this many times.
So I ended up playing one tournament and it was just like probably 8 years later against a guy. I think it was Sean Deeb is who I think it was, but he was like one of the most respected online guys. And at the time, and I had raised, I'll never forget the hand I had raised. He re-raised, I re-raised, and he shipped me all in. And I had ace king, and I called.
And he had king.
And he had queen five. Oh. And I'm just like, what in the hell is going on? This, you know, why would he do this? This is stupid. And you know,
did he win the hand or you win the hand?
No, I won the hand.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it didn't make any sense why he would do it. If it wasn't him, I would think it was just a moronic player and move on with my life. But the fact that it was one of the best players online, it made me start thinking about, well, if he's doing this, he's doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And, so I started, that's when I started actually looking at the game and studying it a little bit and, you know, stopped blaming all the stuff, the 3 years of not cashing on Run Bad and actually started looking at myself and saying, I'm not playing properly anymore. I'm not keeping up with the times. Mm-hmm. So,
and so how do you, like, what's your general idea of studying the game? We always tell people, like, watch training videos. I think Twitch is a pretty cool resource where you have, like, top players like Ape Styles. You know, Lex is another big streamer, just showing their cards, walking through hands. And Daniel does it too. Like, you know, top player in the world, Daniel Negreanu, who's just like, here's all my hands cards for everybody to see. What do you do to study and work on your game these days?
There's a lot of different things I do. I've got a couple different coaches, and I'm working with some people right now. So just trying to learn GTO. It's all about, you know, taking the right lines and figuring out the right solution for every situation, and then figuring out how to deviate from that and be profitable. But right now I'm just trying to get as GTO as possible until I can start deviating. I mean, I fully don't understand what GTO is yet, and I've been only doing it for like 2 or 3 weeks. So basically what I'm doing is just grinding online, trying to perfect the GTO portion of my game. And then once I figure that out, I'll start adding in some wrinkles, you know, and adding in exploitative plays and trying to figure out how to take advantage of opponents that aren't playing the same way.
I have a question just about dealing with your celebrity status and fame. Do you enjoy getting recognized everywhere you go, or does it burn you out? You know, how's that just adjusting to that life, especially in the poker world? Because everywhere you go, obviously.
Well, I've told everybody for the longest time, I've got the perfect amount of fame, because like I can go to the grocery store or go around town and no one recognizes me, or they'll say, hey, I know you from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like I'm, you know, I look similar to Ben Affleck, I know, and
yeah,
Brad Pitt and those guys. My wife's over here like, she's like, what the hell?
Oh, she
you said, I wish you did. Yeah. No, you know, those guys get flocked wherever they go. Like, I can go basically anywhere. If I don't go to a casino, yeah, I might get recognized, you know, once or twice every once in a while. But for the most part, it's, you know, I know you from somewhere, or they just don't know who I am. So when I want to be recognized, I just go to a casino, and, you know, that's when, you know, I get a bunch of people coming up and saying hi and, you know, recognizing me. So I sort of have the perfect scenario where I can control how much exposure I get.
Well, along those lines, and I think we were talking about this yesterday in the office, let's say Ivy wins that main event. Do you still think we have this big boom the way we had it, and it's called like the Ivy effect? Or were you, everything had to line up perfectly, you know, Moneymaker, great last name, Moneymaker effect, Poker Stars, everything booming. Let's say Ivy wins that main event. What does Chris Moneymaker look like right now? Are you still in the cubes, or what do you think happens?
I'm definitely in the cubes. I probably don't play poker. I mean, I'll probably still play, but it's, you know, not going to be what I'm doing now, obviously. I don't think we have an Ivy effect. I think poker was going to take off anyway. I just kind of hit lightning in a bottle and got it to really charge. But basically, because everybody saw themselves in me that, you know, basically, right.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just some random guy. And if I can do it, you can do it. Where if Ivy wins, you know, he's a pro and, you know, he's supposed to win. Yeah. So
like
I don't
Woods
think.
Golf.
Yeah.
Yep. And the problem that I like Ivy. Ivy's a good guy, but the problem with Ivy is he doesn't want to do interviews. He doesn't want to do, right. You know, he doesn't want to, I don't want to say don't want to grow the game, but he just doesn't want to do the bullshit that goes along with, you know, trying to build that brand. He's got his own brand by being quiet, but that wouldn't work so well to promote the game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, if he's tasked with doing like another interview on some stupid podcast nobody listens to, or playing like 100,000, 200,000 with the triads in Macau, he's going to choose the latter every time. So
for sure. I mean, honestly, I think I've only seen him do one interview, maybe two interviews in like the 17 years that.
Can you send him a text and get him on the show?
Good luck. I don't foresee it happening.
No, I mean, he is the white whale for sure. Like, he's just so unattainable, and I think he knows it, and it makes me want him more. But one day.
Hey, that's human nature. Everybody wants it. They can't have Nate.
It'll be my make-a-wish. Just
like, oh, gosh.
Would you?
If that's your make-a-wish, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I have nothing else in my life besides doing 10 minutes with Ivy.
Yeah, you know what? Some people might like that. I don't know. I would not be very happy with that make-a-wish.
I want to ask, too, you said you play some do you enjoy playing PLO Cash? Do you play a lot of that?
Yeah, that's my preferred game. If I had to pick a game, I play PLO more than anything else. But I'm trying. I mean, actually, 17 years later, I'm trying to learn how to play No Limit Cash. So, it's weird how different it is than tournaments, and you know, I didn't even realize how different it was. And
Jake,
until I get into this,
it's much stricter, right? Like. Can be a little
it's
bit
a lot less gambly,
be,
that's for
it
sure.
Can be, yeah, it can be a little boring, and you have to be pretty disciplined. Especially if, like, I assume the 5-10 blitz games are not very soft.
No, they're not soft, and they are pretty boring. I mean, the only time I really got a little bit of excitement today was when I ran a 3-barrel bluff and check raised the guy on the end. Other than that, I've been pretty much playing straightforward, you know. Right, ABC right, poker. So, right. I lost 5,000 yesterday, but I was kind of all over the map trying different things. And most of them obviously didn't work out. Today I'm up 3,500.
There you go.
And, all right. Just playing, straight.
Well, it's good to get the hands in.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's, I mean, you know, really it, again, like I played today, I played 302 hands. Yesterday I played 1,200.
Yep.
And I mean, that's a lot of hands when you're playing one table.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, good on you for having the discipline to just play one table, because I don't think I'd be able to do that.
I'm so old though. I can't. I mean, if I start playing two and three, I just, I mean,
especially
focus.
Right. Especially once those games start to get a little tougher, you really got to focus on every spot.
Yep.
So before we wrap it up, what is the next 6 months to a year look like for Chris Moneymaker? You guys have big things coming up on ACR. Do you plan on traveling at all? Maybe working a live tournament here or there? Like, what's your calendar looking like?
My calendar's wide open now. I haven't really, with the world, me canceling the World Series until they get vaccines for my kid. I just don't know when I'm going to be on the road again. My next 6 months is going to be sitting here probably doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
Just trying to improve my game and get better. So when I do get out there and play, I'm going to start playing some of the higher stakes games on TV. I've always avoided that. That's one reason I'm trying to learn how to play No Limit Cash, so I can actually go and play those high stakes games. Nice. And, not be a complete fish when I'm playing them.
Yeah.
So that's really what my plan is, just trying to improve my game and get better. We're going to have another Moneymaker event on ACR, which for anybody that's not familiar with that, we had penny tournaments that you played and you're eventually able to win. We had a Russian guy actually for America's Card Room, which is kind of funny, win a $105,000 sponsorship, 1 year sponsorship with America's Card Room by winning this little next Moneymaker thing.
Yeah.
And he spent like 24 cents to do it. So we're going to have another one of those promotions, basically trying to change someone's life. And, that's the thing I enjoy doing. I enjoy giving people opportunities to do what I do, sit in my pajamas and do interviews and, make it look like I'm being professional.
Slide some tournament tickets into my account on ACR.
Hustle more, Nate. I mean, hustle more.
It's reading $0 and 0 cents. Right
all,
now,
you, so. All you need is 24 cents.
I don't even have that right now. So, I mean, Sunday.
I know your accountant, Ham. I'm sure I can figure out how to send you 24 cents.
I appreciate that. Owen,
no problem. When staking happens, I will stake you. You'll be my horse for a few events.
There you go, Nate.
There we go.
Oh, what, man. What can't you, wait. That'll be some good weekend content out of that.
I think he's talking about here. The 1 cent events. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I'd go up to 3 cents.
Oh, thank you.
Nate, your reputation's improving.
I don't know if I'm worth that, but thank you.
Well, I just figure the fact, he could probably play 1,000 of those and I'm not going to lose too much money.
Owen, you had one last question?
I'm good.
Oh, no, you raised your hand. I thought you had it.
I gave a thumbs up.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, Chris, thank you.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate you coming on. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It was fun, guys. Thanks for having me on. you know, maybe next time when I come on, you'll have a full studio and it'll be just incredible.
No, it's more likely we'll be canceled before you come on.
I think you told me that last time. Yeah, we're this probably won't even make it. You're going to get canceled and it's yada, day yada. Day. And now I come back and like you got again, you got the full studio. So, I mean, you'll probably be in an arena or something next time.
We're trying. I mean, as long as you keep coming on, people keep listening. They're not listening for us. So. We appreciate your time as always, and hopefully we'll talk to you sooner than later.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a good one.
So what are we talking about? Oh, real quick. The Philly main event. So you played it, Smitty.
Yes. I played Philly the World Series.
Philly main event.
World Series of Poker. Pennsylvania main event. The gold bracelet. And shout out Andrew Porter.
Okay, yes.
Who, he's a personality for WIP, the sports radio station. We go back a little bit. He's a Penn State guy. Really, really good dude. He ended up taking it down for like 60K.
There you go.
Shout out to Porter. Good God.
Yeah. Port dog.
You know him?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's not a pro, but plays.
So he just works at the talk radio station in Philly. Mm-hmm. Have a ton of mutual friends. I guess Smitty and him like talk all the time, and I wake up this morning and saw that he won the main event for $65,000.
Yeah, I mean, wild. Good for him. But
awesome.
I tried to satellite in on Sunday. Was unsuccessful, so I just bit the bullet, bought in for the 1K, only had one ride, and that was pretty much all she wrote.
No. Can't book them all.
Got any hands?
Nothing really.
Yeah. Your bust out hand.
Yeah, I didn't really get many things going. I was around starting stack, and I was like down to half, and then like up to double a little bit, just here and there. And then I had like 20 bigs with like a half hour to go in day one. Small blind, cut off raises, big stack. I got nines, shove, nines against twos, feeling pretty good. Flop comes, feeling pretty great. Turn comes, feeling even better. River comes, deuce. Ugh. So, what are you going to do?
And that was it?
That was it.
That's a good main event run.
Can't repop.
Run.
Can't repop for 1K. Not in this economy.
No. You have 1,000 kids and dogs running around on torn ACLs at home.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it sucks because there goes my, I talk about how bad I am at bankroll management. If I was playing full time, like, yes, I would try to play about the 2%. That was my winnings from the first WSOP, the 500. Just kind of shipped it in the main. And
that's
now,
all right.
Now we're back. Now we're back to normal.
Yeah, there's a... It sucks. Like, obviously, I didn't go to Pennsylvania and play the main, but then I was thinking about it, and I still feel... God, I go back and forth on it. I talk all the time about how it's a fake bracelet and this and that. But there still is something to it where it's like
the brotherly love bracelet.
Yeah, exactly. But they also have a $100 $75K guarantee where first place gets an automatic entry into the main. The real main. Yeah, which is like an absurd overlay.
That's a nice little bonus.
So, I mean, there's still stuff going on. There's a Keystone Classic in 2 weeks. I don't know what the fuck that is. But there's going to be some guaranteed stuff there. Sweet. So, you know, between that site and the two others that I play on. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be okay.
And Mincy, you have big news.
Well, so I'm in Hoboken officially
moved to Hoboken.
The hobo part is right though, because I don't own shit here. All my stuff's in the South. Yeah. As of right now, I have a bed, and that's what I have in my new place. Anybody that wants to donate anything, send it this way.
And your next of kin would be Billy Football.
Yeah. So, and I'm taking care of Billy's dog this week because it's grit week. I'm going to seize the moment and take a picture of me picking up his dog's crap for grit week for social media.
That's very gritty. With your bare hand.
I will have a plastic bag.
That's not as gritty.
But I'm excited about the Hoboken. Jake, all ears from you on just figuring out the online. I know WSOP.com's New Jersey, Nevada. Borgata's got, I guess, MGM.
It's Party, yeah.
Party.
Party has their own skin that Borgata's under Party and MGM as well.
Okay, so there's three sites. Those are the only three sites?
No, those are all skins of Party Poker.
Okay.
So then there's those. There's WSOP and Stars.
Is Stars New Jersey have anything to it?
Yeah, I mean, they have some tournaments. It's definitely the slowest site as far as traffic goes.
And then when live poker starts coming back, I guess they'll probably have satellites into Borgata and stuff.
Yeah.
They're not running any live tournaments at Borgata.
No, I know. So,
there's a 3,500 WPT,
online.
I think in September.
That's cool.
And they'll run satellites to that.
So I think we're just going to, we have to take like a picture of you every week. So he's moving next door to Billy Football. Billy Football is a known workout enthusiast. And I believe
Billy Football's kid, he instead of having a dining room, he has a squat rack.
Right. And I believe
he's hoping I get a dining room table. So
he referred to you as his pet.
I'm Mitzi experiment.
He's going to buy all the food and just work him out like a hamster in a wheel. And he's just going to get you shredded.
I'm all for it, man. I like being alive. And that sounds like it'll keep it going a little longer.
You do like being alive.
I do. Yeah. I do enjoy being alive.
It's not going to hurt you.
No, it's going to be fun. So far, I like Hoboken so far too, man. Streets are clean, vibes are good. Kind of, I'm digging it.
Yeah. Have you been able to do some exploring?
I've just walked around.
You saw the Fight Wreckers?
No, the food scene's pretty good.
Johnny Rockets. Don't go to Johnny Rockets.
I've been digging the food scene a little bit. Noticeably, lots of options. Noticeably, you can see the New Jersey price difference. Everything's $5 or $10 cheaper. It seems like.
Fury's Thursday.
Oh yeah,
roast beef.
Okay.
Yeah. Also Tuesday, the corned beef.
Oh. Where? Fury's?
Fury's.
Today's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, but they close probably.
Yeah, Thursday lunch.
Yeah. Fury's. Friday, Italian tuna.
All right. Forget about it.
I haven't been there in forever. I used to live close to it, and I would go there all the time.
I'm ready to get really the online. Good. I'm excited. I'm going to get I've got my dueling monitors and all that in the South. Mm. I'm getting them shipped up soon. And I'm going to be grinding a good bit.
Awesome.
Do you know Frank Sinatra was born in Hoboken?
I did. Yeah, I did. I always heard people say
literally first every game. Single thing that everyone says to me about Hoboken is Frank Sinatra was fucking born there.
Yeah, I feel like that's been made abundantly clear to me as well.
It's pretty cool. Like when I moved here, I moved in with Jake in Hoboken. And then Smitty, you lived in Hoboken for,
year and a half.
It was only a year and a half?
Yeah.
Man, I feel like you lived there you lived there through an engagement, marriage, and kid, I guess.
Yeah.
And now you live there. Yes. And Owen, you live there part-time or?
Yeah, I'll be there a lot.
Because the gambling house is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. I'm stoked about too, because I'm only going to be a 5-10 minute walk away from the gambling house. I'm going to be hitting up the streets.
So you'll be there
in Jersey City.
Hoboken, right?
Yeah. So I'll be there probably like Friday through Monday.
You're going to have to.
I'm going to be over there all the time.
So I'll be hopping on.
Shit. I'm going to have to.
Party poker. And
I'm going to have to come over to Hoboken.
I mean, I have no idea what you're doing. Yeah. You're nuts.
I hate commuting. When I lived in Hoboken, I hated commuting. We lived at the path. The first apartment we lived at the path. Like 2 minute walk to the path.
I guess it was like the old office
was
a little harder to get to, but this one is like 5 minutes right off the path.
That path drops off right there by 30th and 6th. I mean, it's great. I like that the path's not as crowded as the subways.
And it's clean.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, Hoboken's great. I'm going to have to make some trips over for sure. Everybody's going to be playing online. I'm going to be sitting there with my thumb up my ass.
I like the sound of that Italian tuna.
I'm probably not.
I'm still thinking about
Fridays.
That. I'm pretty hungry.
Fridays. Yeah. They have regular tuna and Italian tuna.
Oh, what makes it Italian?
I think they just put balsamic and tomatoes
in it. And it gropes you when you're not looking?
Yeah. It's very handsy.
He's not pervert. He's just Italian.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So that is episode 95. Thanks everybody for listening. As always, feel free to check Smitty out on Twitter and Instagram. And if you enjoyed our interview with Chris Moneymaker, please go back to our old episodes, listen to our old interviews with all the legends of the game. We'll continue to have big guests on. We'll continue to pump out merch. Look for a new shirt drop tomorrow. I think you guys will like it. And thanks for continuing to support our Dumb Little Poker podcast. And we will see you back here next week.